नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। या तो सौलब्धवरो मथो नवाद्यो मम सृष्टिभिः अपो योगबलो नथा समस्ता निगमान अहं। From me the benediction that he would not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this assurance, and with strength derived from austerities and mystic power, he became excessively proud and transgressed all Vedic injunctions. By great fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, has now been released from death. For although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to a limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Karmadi nirahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita. A devotee is not under the laws of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, Text 27 through 29. These prayers are being spoken by Lord Brahma. Previously, in his role as a devata, he was obliged to give Hiranyakashipu such benedictions that would give him the power of being a tyrant who would create chaos, terrorism, massacre to innocent living beings, and to categorically attempt to destroy all principles of spirituality or religion. Lord Brahma is a Mahajan. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The path of perfection, Lord Chaitanya said, is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Among the Mahajans, he is first. He's one of the great gurus, guru of Narada, param guru of Vyasadev, the compiler of the Vedas. We are to follow in his footsteps. Why did he give these benedictions? Paradukaduki. A great devotee, his or her only suffering is to see others suffer. His or her only happiness is to see others happy. It was inevitable. Hiranyakashipu, before even performing these tapasyas, had vowed to kill Vishnu and offer his blood to his brother, Hiranyaksha. He had vowed to exterminate all piety. By his power, he wanted to reverse the way material nature works. The karmic laws is if you commit sins, you suffer, and if you do pious things, you enjoy. His aim was if you commit sins, you enjoy, and if you do pious things, you will suffer. This was his motivation. He wanted to kill cows, destroy goshalas, slaughter Brahmins. Why did Lord Brahma give him these benedictions wherein he could fulfill his ambitions for a long time? It is also said you cannot understand the mind of a Vaishnava. But Lord Brahma, in the role of a demigod, was obliged. As a role of a great acharya, he is speaking the highest knowledge and he is living by those principles. But in his role of a demigod, the predominator over the Rajaguna, if someone performs the tapasya, he's obliged to give. But when a great soul like Brahma does something, the Lord is always there to protect him, to make sure that what he does is ultimately for the welfare of all living beings. And certainly, he's giving these benedictions worth for the ultimate wealth for all living beings. May not have been easily understood during the time of Hiranyakashipu's reign of terrorism, but now when we look back, we can understand. There would be no incarnation of Lord Narasimhadev. We would have never heard of Prahlad. And one of the most beautiful, wondrous stories of love and devotion and the reciprocation of that love between the Lord and his devotees were manifested. And Lord Brahma was an instrument. So here, after Hiranyakashipu has been killed, the Lord manifested as a half-man, half-lion. Little Prahlad manifested in his life as a 5-year-old child the most extraordinary qualities of fearlessness, love, devotion. Lord Brahma is coming to offer his obeisances to the Lord. And he's saying, that you naturally protect your devotee from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. It's very interesting. Lord Brahma is discussing how Prahlad is completely free of all fear. And he proved it. When he was thrown into pits of snakes, when he was thrown into the ocean, when he was thrown from the tops of mountains, hurled into fire, he was not afraid. Now, if we're just walking through a field and we see one little cobra, and that cobra happens to see us and raises his hoods and stares right in our eyes and hisses, and his forked tongue is slithering in and out, would you be afraid? You don't have to say anything in public. But in your heart of hearts, meditate. Would you be afraid? And most of you are grown people. Prahlad was a 5-year-old little boy. And he was thrown into a pit of thousands of such snakes. He was thrown right on top of them. He had absolutely not a trace of fear. He didn't even pray, "My Lord, save me." If you're afraid, you pray. If you're a pious devotee, you pray, "Krishna, save me." He didn't even say that. He was just going down, falling down into this pit. All the snakes were, and he was just remembering Krishna in complete happiness. There was no danger. He was fearless. But let us examine the nature of Prahlad's fearlessness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, "Na jayate mriyate va kadachit." For the soul, there is neither birth nor death. Once having been, it never ceases to be. The soul is not slain when the body is slain. The soul is forever. Cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon. It cannot be moistened by water. It cannot be burned by fire. It's transcendental. Krishna chastises Arjuna. "Why are you lamenting? The soul is forever. No one dies. Vasamsi jinani atavihaya." So what we call death is just a change of clothes. You have some clothes. When they become old and useless, you change your clothes. Brahmacharis are like that. Other people, they have so many clothes. But they're always changing. We're always changing our clothes. For a self-realized soul who understands, who has experience of who we really are, death is a change of clothes. So why should we fear death if we are eternal? Aham Brahmasmi. I am the eternal soul. I am not this body. For the Brahmavadis, they are fearless on this platform. But Prahlad Maharaj, his condition of fearlessness was so much deeper, so much higher, so much more profound than just the realization that I am immortal. His fearlessness was not based on gyan, of knowledge of my eternal identity. His fearlessness was based on prem, or love. When he was going down there in that blazing fire, he wasn't thinking, aham brahmasmi, I'm not this body, no fire can burn me. And when they were piercing him with tridents, he wasn't thinking, Krishna says in Gita, that no weapon can pierce the soul. He was just a 5-year-old boy. His fearlessness was based on complete trust in Krishna. This is bhakti. I'll offer a crude example. One of my godbrothers, some years ago, he had a little baby girl. She wasn't a baby. She was maybe 1.5, 2 years old. And every morning in the temple, he would take that little girl, blonde-haired, blue eyes, very fair skin, little 1.5, 2-year-old girl, and he would throw her so high in the air. It was unbelievable. Practically way, way up. She would just go way up, and then she'd come down and he'd catch her. And it was a marble floor. If he missed her, she would be squashed. This helpless little girl. He'd just throw her, and she'd be up there and come down and he'd catch her. He'd do it again and again and again. I mean, I'm a brahmachari. I'm supposed to be fearless. I would cringe. I would be so afraid. If he misses, she's just going to splash on the floor. But the amazing thing, I'll never forget this picture. As he threw her in the air, she was laughing. She was smiling. Her eyes were beaming. She was in ecstasy, being way, 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 way up in the air. And then coming down, and he'd catch her. Why was she so fearless? Not only fearless, but she didn't even think about fear. She wasn't thinking, what are the odds that he might catch me? He's caught me so many other times before, so he'll probably catch me this time. There was no rational gyan involved, that I'm not this body, even if I fall, my soul cannot be squashed. She was just laughing, smiling. She loved it. Because she had faith in her father's love. She felt total shelter. My father loves me. And therefore, nothing could possibly happen. A child's faith. Now, if anyone else were to throw her like that, she would be hysterical. Yes? If myself or anyone else threw her in the air the same way, she would be frantic. Looking down, what's happening? Because she felt complete shelter in the love of her father. That is bhakti. That is Prahlad Maharaj. He wasn't thinking, I'm not this body. He was beyond that. He was thinking that Krishna is the controller of all controllers. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed, Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Nandana My Lord, you are the controller of all controllers. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed, Maropi Rako Bijo Icha Toha. My Lord, if you'd like, you can protect me. If it is your will, you can kill me. Doesn't make any difference. You can do anything you want with me. I am your eternal servant. I am yours. Prahlad wasn't even thinking whether he's going to die or not. Prahlad was just, my Lord, you are mine and I am yours. If I die, I go back to Godhead or wherever you want me. If I live, I am yours. He had complete faith. He was finding complete shelter in Krishna's love. And Krishna's love is infinite. It's inconceivable. When we taste a drop of Krishna's love, we become fearless. Fear is the predominating characteristic of material existence. So much of everybody's endeavors are either consciously or unconsciously motivated by fear. The medical industry is about fear. Practically everything. The cosmetic industry. We're afraid we may not look nice. But fashion, it's not just about looking good. It's about fear of not looking good. Business, fear of competition is such a motivating force. Relationships. And everybody knows that old age, disease, and death is imminent. So much fear in this world. Bajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare. Govindadas prays to his mind. Please, my dear mind, take shelter of Sri Nanda Nandana, Krishna. Then you become fearless. Not fearless because you're not this body. That's also there. But fearless because you feel a complete shelter in Krishna's love. That is the uniqueness of bhakti. Hiranyakashipu, he had achieved mystic siddhis beyond comprehension. He had achieved mystic powers beyond even the demigods. But he was afraid. He was afraid of a son. He was afraid of the only person in this world who actually loved him, Prahlad. Everyone else in this world was just like his yes man. He would raise his eyebrow, everyone would shake and say, I am your obedient servant. Prahlad would tell him, my dear father, with all due respect, you are an illusion. You have fallen into a deep, dark, abominable ditch, a well. It's such a miserable condition you're in that even if you call for help, no one will hear you. You're simply addicted to your senses. The only hope for you, you should give it all up, go to Vrindavan, worship Krishna. Take the dust of the feet of all the devotees and humble yourself before them. Otherwise, you're doomed, my father. Who could speak like that to Hiranyakashipu? And every time Prahlad said something like that, Hiranyakashipu would throw him in the ground and try to murder him, try to torture him. Now, if someone chastises you, it hurts. But can you imagine Hiranyakashipu chastising you? This frail little boy, Prahlad Maharaj was not, he didn't exercise and have strong body. He was just a little skinny boy. And Hiranyakashipu was the most powerful being in the creation. But he just continued to tell his father the truth because he loved him. And Hiranyakashipu was afraid of Prahlad. That's why he was trying to kill him. This is the ego. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, because I cannot control him, he is my enemy. This is the demoniac way of thinking. And we have seen this historically amongst tyrants and dictators. If I cannot control you, if I do not have conviction in your loyalty to me, then you are my enemy and you must be eliminated. So he had all these mystic powers. He had tremendous wealth. He was controlling the universe with no competition. But he was afraid. And Prahlad had nothing. His father totally disinherited him. He was a 5-year-old boy whose father rejected him, whose mother was not really getting involved. Can you imagine the mother, what she was going through? While Hiranyakashipu was watching him trying to murder his own son in the most horrible ways. But according to the Bhagavatam, she didn't even say anything. What could she do? She was married to him. She was trapped. She was a disciple of Narada Muni too. Very difficult predicament. But little Prahlad was completely free of fear. For him, all of these tortures, all of these most horrible assassination attempts, it was like that little girl being thrown in the air. He was happy. He was ecstatic. Because he knew Krishna would catch him. Because he had complete faith in Krishna's love. Yegatamam prabhajante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Bhakti is the process of offering Krishna our love. And Krishna reciprocates by showering upon us his love. Radha Gopinath. Radharani's love. Srimati Radharani's love even conquers Krishna. When you take shelter of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, she just, from her heart, she pours her love upon you. With a father and mother like that, all we have to do is just be in the shelter of their arms. Nothing can harm us. It's not on the material platform. It's not that if I feel Krishna's love, then I will not die. Because physically, you will die. Devotees also, their bodies die. There are so many acharyas. Narada Muni is still roaming around playing his veena. Narada Muni bhajai veena radhika ramana name. He's there. You can meet him. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and this was early in New York. And they rented an auditorium. First time they ever did this. A big venue. And only a couple people came. The whole auditorium was empty. And Prabhupada gave a lecture as if there were a million people out there. He was totally enthusiastic, very strong. And it was just a couple devotees and nobody else was there. And he was preaching to the world. Devotees apologized after. Nobody came. Prabhupada said, oh, you didn't see. Narada Muni was there. Prabhupada could see. Lord Brahma's there. Lord Shiva's there. But all the others, we have records of how they left their bodies. They have their samadhis, Madhvacharya. He went to Badrika Ashram and left his body in Udupi. The place where he left is still there. So yes, devotee, not devotee, it is nature's way. By the power of time, we all have to leave these bodies. It's not that Krishna will save my life in this dangerous position, but then I'll die later. Death doesn't matter. As long as I have this body, as long as I can preserve it and protect it, I will utilize it in his service. But when we feel Krishna's love, that love is, it's the union, it's the yoga between the soul and the Supreme Soul. And that union is the union of prema, the union of love. And that is the only thing that is unchangeable. Nothing can interrupt the love between a devotee and Krishna. No power within this entire creation. Yamuna Devi is singing. Wonderful, wonderful. Amazing. Her mystic power, she's sitting there and sitting in the corner with her mouth closed and her voice is coming from the pocket of one of the brahmacharis. This is magic. There is no greater power than love. Love of God. There is no greater power than God's love for us. And that is our aim as devotees, to take shelter of that love, to cultivate that love, to directly experience that love. Patram pushpam palam toyam. If we just offer Krishna even a leaf, a flower, a little water with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it. And when we have devotion, our heart opens to access Krishna's love. Factually, Krishna loves everyone. Aham bija pratapita. He is everyone's father and mother. Nityananda Prabhu was Lord Balaram, Krishna. He loved Jagai and Madhai, who were the worst criminals. He loved them. Krishna loves everyone. We're all his children. But we have to open our hearts to receive that love. That is material creation, how it is. We have to open our hearts to realize, experience, and taste that love. Bhakti is the process of learning how to open our hearts. And when we do, material nature can throw us anywhere. And like that little girl, we'll be smiling. We'll be laughing because we know we're under the shelter of Krishna's love. And that love is infallible. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Dinatarani Yamuna Devi, would you like to say anything? Thank you very, very, very much. My prayer is you can speak through me like you did through that brahmachari's pocket, even though I'm sitting here on the other side of the room. Sing through me. Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the very nice class. You're mentioning about fearlessness. Sometimes it happens that after we spend a certain number of years in Krishna consciousness, we also get into some sort of a comfort zone where we think that whatever we are doing, it's adequate. We are following the basic norms that are required. We're giving our charity and we are preaching a little bit. And sometimes when the opportunity comes or there are situations where there might be a necessity for you to go outside your comfort zone, then there is a fear in your heart that my Krishna consciousness may get compromised. I may not be able to do the same things that I've been doing earlier. So at such situations, what should one do? Whether one should just remain in that particular comfort zone because you're doing quite nicely, or one has to venture out in order to do a little bit more?
Venture out. Because that comfort zone is not giving us the opportunity to really take shelter of Krishna's love. We're comfortable by the circumstances. Draupadi. What was the point of life that was her ultimate perfection? When she was helpless. When she was living in her palace with Yudhisthira Maharaj and Arjuna and Bhima, it was very comfortable. But when she was in that gambling match and Dushasana ripped her away, dragged her by the hair, she was squealing. He dragged her by the hair, threw her to the ground. And then Dushasana was ordered to strip her naked. Worse than death to be humiliated like that in front of all of these men. All alone. She looked to the Pandavas. All they could do is put their heads down and cry in anger because there was nothing they could do to help her. She looked toward Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana. She pleaded for help. She chastised them. What kind of man are you? I'm an innocent woman. You're going to do this to me? The they just looked down. She looked to Bhishma, her grandfather, the embodiment of Dharma. There's nothing he did. Dushasana was looking at her. Now please know, Dushasana is not like these people on television that play him. He wasn't just some, you know, drunken Bollywood actor. Each of his arms was as strong as thousands of elephants. He was a powerful personality. Yeah, he was looking at Draupadi with such lust and anger. And he was speaking the most horrible, harsh words to her. And he pulled at her sari. And with her own little hands, she tried to defend herself. But she realized, there is nothing and no one who could protect me. She was really out of her comfort zone. If she had the strength of Dushasana and she could protect herself, there would be some comfort zone there. Yes? Or if her husbands came to the rescue, some comfort zone. But there was nothing. In that state, she threw her arms straight up to the sky. And with tears in her eyes, she cried out Krishna's names. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. And Krishna reciprocates according to our devotion. Because she cried out, you are my only shelter, Krishna gave her complete shelter. If you're making ulterior arrangements for yourself, and you cry out to Krishna, you're giving me some shelter, but I'm finding other shelter somewhere else, then Krishna will give you a little bit of shelter. He won't give you himself. When you take total shelter, Krishna totally gives himself. Now, how did he give himself? He entered into Draupadi's sari. He was embracing her. She was in Krishna's loving arms, just like that little girl, the daughter of my godbrother. She was just like that. She was in the loving embrace of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada liked to push us out of our comfort zones, because then we can take shelter. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't go diving into pits of snakes. He didn't go running into fire. He wasn't testing Krishna. He wasn't crazy. Sometimes devotees, their devotion to Krishna, their devotion isn't real. They're crazy. Krishna will save me, so I'll break the law, I'll lie, I'll do anything. It doesn't matter. Krishna's there to protect me. Devotees should be intelligent. This is Krishna's body. Our Prahlad just spoke the truth. And everything else came as a consequence. And he was not afraid to speak the truth because he knew that he was in the arms of Krishna's love. If I please Krishna, nothing else matters. In these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Narasimhadev is offering Prahlad any benediction. He's saying, I will give you long life, I will give you the kingdom of the world. I'll give you the opulences of your father. I'll give you all these things. And Prahlad says, my lord, I am born in a family of atheists and demons. And therefore, naturally, I'm very much inclined toward material enjoyment. Please do not tempt me by offering me these things. And then Prahlad says, I am fearful of material life. This is the amazing thing about a Vaishnava. They're completely fearless, but they're so humble, they're admitting that they're fearful. How many of you would like to just admit your fear in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam so that people forever are going to read about it? Prahlad never said, I'm fearless. Prahlad was afraid of forgetting Krishna. That means he was never in a comfort zone. He always kept himself out of a comfort zone. The story of Srila Prabhupada, when he was sitting very, very meditatively in front of his small deities of Radha and Krishna, and a devotee asked him, what are you thinking? In the early days, devotees would just speak their minds. And Prabhupada, very humbly, he said, I am praying to Radha Krishna to protect me from Maya. Now, why would Prabhupada ask to be protected from Maya? He was beyond Maya. That's why he's beyond Maya. Because he's always taking shelter of Krishna. When that little girl was just sitting on the floor in her father's arms, she wasn't laughing and smiling the way she was when she was in the sky, falling down, her life in danger. She felt her father's love more that way. So a devotee doesn't say, I am fearless. A devotee fears forgetting Krishna, fears offending Vaishnavas, fears the temptations of material existence. But that fear is an incentive to go deeper and deeper and deeper into taking shelter of Krishna's love. And like Draupadi, raising our arms and loudly crying out the holy names. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. When Draupadi's arms were raised like that, she was completely fearless. She was totally beyond fear in that state because she was feeling Krishna's love. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, you're speaking about death. So I would like to ask a very straightforward question is that although I am here in this last so many years in Krishna consciousness, but still that fear of death is not going from our heart, from my heart. Whenever any devotee leaves body, when we think about him and when we feel it, that same devotee's situation would have come on me, I am not yet prepared for death. So I wanted to know that when we are on the deathbed, when we are about to leave our body, at that time, what is that checking point which we have to check in our life where we can find it out that we will be getting some, what destination we'll be getting? Because at that time we'll be much more fearful because we are in actual, death is in front of us, we have to leave everything. At that juncture, how can we checkpoint, what is the checking point where we can really clear ourselves that what is the destination and Krishna is going to give us so that we can be completely relaxed and leave our body at the very peaceful Krishna conscious way.
Why are you so attached to being relaxed? Huh? Was Draupadi relaxed? It was because she was not relaxed that she cried out Krishna's name and she found his shelter. We shouldn't think that death is something that is going to happen tomorrow. We should understand that death is here today. We prepare for death not by making a schedule. We prepare for death at every moment. How am I taking shelter? How am I chanting the holy names during my japa, during the kirtan? How am I really absorbing myself in the holy names? What manifests at the time of death is going to be the result of how you take shelter of the holy names, of how you take shelter of the words of Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam today, at this moment. All we have is the moment that is now to take shelter. We can't keep planning to take shelter in the future because such plan making goes on birth after birth after birth until we decide now is all I have. We plan for the future, but taking shelter is now. That is how we prepare for death. There is no death. But the inevitable changing of bodies is there. And your illusory identity that I am this body and these things in relationship to this body are mine will be completely annihilated. Fearlessness is when we establish a relationship with Krishna. Then whatever happens, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, you can save me or kill me, doesn't matter. And that's what Prahlad was feeling. He wasn't saying, Krishna, save me from death. He was just praying, Krishna, I'm yours. That's all, I'm yours. This is how we should cultivate the chanting of the holy names. Death could come today. We can't keep thinking tomorrow. Those terrorists attacked. None of those people thought that that day would be that the end. The tsunami, the earthquakes. I was talking to someone who has a good friend who lives in Israel, where there's daily all kinds of terrorists. Yes? And the world hears about this suicide bomber exploded and 20 people killed, 50 people killed. Yes? We hear about it all over the world. But this person said, I have no fear of terrorists. I have fear of the person, of every person on the road driving their cars. because 100 times more people get killed in car accidents than terrorist attacks. And that's true in Bombay too. I mean, that terrorist attack was horrible. But think about how many people in India die of terrorist attacks every year, and how many people die of car accidents. Probably at least 5,000 times more. Yes? They're not expecting it. And the heart, you know, in Kali Yuga, the heart's very fickle. It could just stop anytime. So many people, no problem. All of a sudden, the heart just decides, I'm going to take rest. And translated in your life, that means you're dead. The heart just takes rest for 2 minutes and you're dead. And what is a heart? It's just this little muscle. It's just like... it's this little muscle this big. It's just going... and your whole life depends on this little muscle going... Think about it. Life is really... not very secure. So we should be serious today. Man manabhavamad bhakto madhya shimdam namaskuru. Mami vaishyashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. This is our assurance. Krishna has promised us. This is my promise, he has told. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage to me. And you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. And Krishna knows our weaknesses. And he knows how difficult this material energy is. But if we're just sincere... Srila Prabhupada pleaded with us, just be sincere. Just try to read these books, try to hear Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely, without duplicity. Try to chant the holy name sincerely. There may be many effective techniques to concentrate on the holy name during our japa or during kirtan and all of these things, which are helpful and good. But foundationally, it's based on our sincerity. There's no technique to become sincere. There may be techniques to concentrate. But it's not about concentration, it's about sincerity. If you're sincere, you're going to try to concentrate. If you're sincere, even if you're not able to concentrate, Krishna's going to be there in his name, in your heart, even if your mind's like that. Prabhupada pleaded us, be sincere. Really try earnestly. And Krishna will be there to help you. He will preserve what you have. He will carry what you lack. And he has promised. Just try to remember him and live by his teachings. And you will come to me without fail. But that means today, not at 10:30, now. Being serious means now. Does that answer your question? Yes, Mahaprabhu. Whenever Mahaprabhu picks up the microphone, he takes me out of the comfort zone.
Should I postpone my question? Postpone?
If I told you to postpone, I would be contradicting everything I'm trying to teach you. I would like you to postpone, but I have to try to teach by my example.
On that night, Maharaj, when we were at Sinaji's place, and with the terrorist attack, and the whole night, about 100 people stayed there. And though when we are an association devotee, we can't tolerate, okay, we can chant or hear if there is war in India and Pakistan, as Srila Prabhupada said, if third world war we started, last week only I was reading some devotee has given quote, that if third world war will come, it will start only by India and Pakistan. And the way today's headline, Times of India, even America and China, they are requesting India, please, the way things are coming on the border and everything is getting completely ready, means for war. Because sometimes we do read headlines on this paper. So now, we are here, no problem. When we are at Sinaji's place, no problem. But when we people are in workplace or outside place, in the midst of those people who are completely in a different mood at that time, we are so fearful because at that time, you know, we are not able to hear the transcendental talk which we are having at this time. And we are all the time thinking what is going to happen next moment. So this is the situation, because actually practical thing at this time, because India is really at that defense minister saying that we have heard all this peace talk. Now there is no question of peace talk. This Pakistan has talked so many times peace, and he has done so much damage at several places here. Now we are not interested in peace talk. And the Indian forces are also going towards the border now, because it's proceeding towards the border today. So in that situation, what we are supposed to do?
Mahaprabhu has taken all of us out of the comfort zone. It is reality of material existence. And you know, you could run for prime minister. We should do what we can do. Devotees on the relative platform are always feeling compassion on every level for people who are suffering. I'll never forget during the last war between India and Pakistan, 1971. Yes? December. I was in Vrindavan. And Pakistani planes were coming into India and dropping bombs. And they had this blackout. Well, they wouldn't allow any. They turned all the electricity off at night because they were thinking that if the Pakistani planes come at night, if they see light, they'll know where they are and they'll bomb. And there were bombs going off. It was a full-scale war. in the air, in the sea, on the land. And there was this one sadhu in Vrindavan who was very high esteem and love for this sadhu. His name was Vishaka Sharan Baba. He lived in Ramanreti. And every day about 4:30, I would go to meet him. There'd be about five or six. He was in his 80s, and everybody with him were in their 70s and 80s. I was 20. It's really nice. They didn't do any sense gratification. All they did is they would just sit with him, and he would give Krishna Katha. He would speak in Hindi. This one man named Panditji would translate for me. And I would just, every day I would go. More than the katha was their affection. It was so deep and so real and so much coming from Krishna. So when I would come there, they would turn on the radio. At a certain point, they would be doing their katha. Then there was the news. So they would turn on the radio. It was this really old wooden radio. I think the radio was probably made in about 1920. It was just this big wooden thing, and it had antenna on it. And they turn it on, and so much static, like and it was in Hindi. And Panditji would be translating for me, and they'd just be talking all about the war, how many people have been killed, and what kind of attacks. And as they'd be listening to this, they would be very emotional. They would be so emotional, there would be tears in their eyes thinking about how people were suffering. Then they'd turn off the radio, and he'd start talking about Krishna and the cowherd boys, and they'd all be laughing. And I was thinking, this is an amazing balance. Sometimes devotees become callous to people's suffering. Ah, you're not this body, it doesn't matter. Devotees are sick. Doesn't matter, you're not this body. Devotees' father or mother dies. Ah, it's all Maya anyway. You have so many mothers and fathers. Which father and mother is he? So that's one type of being callous toward human suffering. And another problem is when you become so involved in human suffering, you forget the transcendental aspect of the soul. You become just a philanthropist. A great Vaishnava has that balance. Prabhupada had that balance. He was concerned with people suffering on this level. This is the only level where they're suffering. If a devotee is paradukaduki, you don't have to be paradukaduki in Vaikuntha because there's no suffering. We're concerned about the people suffering due to wars, due to plagues, due to forgetfulness of Krishna. People are going through all these physical and mental sufferings, and we feel for them. But at the same time, we're transcendental to it all by taking shelter of Krishna's name and Krishna's katha. So all at once, these men, they'd turn on the radio and cry to hear about human suffering, then they'd speak about Krishna, and they'd be in ecstasy. It was a balance. Prahlad Maharaj was balanced. He was completely transcendental in any state. He was fearless because he was in the arms of Krishna. He felt total shelter in Krishna's love. Not in the Brahma Jyoti. He didn't feel shelter in the Brahma Jyoti. He was beyond that. He was feeling shelter in Krishna's personal fatherly love. In every instance. But when he was offered a benediction, two benedictions he asked for. And then kind of a third one. The first benediction is that he would always remember the Lord and never become distracted by material desires. That was his first benediction. His next benediction, that my father blasphemed you so bad. He hated you. He wanted to kill you. And he tortured and killed so many people. He's destined to such miserable suffering. Please forgive him and give him liberation. He was feeling for the suffering, the physical, mental suffering that his father was going to endure. And his benediction was, remove that suffering from him. Give him liberation. And then the last benediction he asked for is, I don't want to go to the spiritual world. Let me stay here in this material world. And as long as there's any fools who are not taking shelter of you, as long as anybody is suffering due to forgetfulness of you in this world, let me be here to try to help them. That's the balance. So yes, whether there's a war or not a war, it's beyond our control. What can you do? You can vote. That's about all you can do on the material platform of what these politicians are doing with each other. But that's not really that important. The important thing is whether people die in war or whether people die in other ways. Real compassion, give them the shelter of Krishna's love. This type of fear gives us a sense of urgency of how we need the association of devotees. If you're a little afraid in the workplace, as soon as you get out of the workplace, you'll come to the temple and take shelter of the association of devotees. If you're not afraid, you may just go home and watch television to see what the latest news is. And then, now that the news channel's over, you know, it's Krishna's arrangement. Let me turn the knob and see what else is there. Yes? So that fear is healthy if it helps us, if it's an impetus to take shelter of Krishna and his holy name. And the nature of a devotee is any situation, however wonderful and auspicious, or however horrible and inauspicious, a devotee is always looking for the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. And if, as it is said in the Bible, seek and ye shall find. If we seek the opportunity to deepen our own bhakti and share that bhakti with others, then every situation will provide an opportunity, a unique opportunity. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Mahaprabhu looks like he's very much comfort zone now. But to really find the real comfort zone of the shelter of the Lord, we have to be intense. In the Bible, it is said, if you're hot or cold, then I will accept you. But if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Hot and cold, it means intense. Byabashayatma kabudhir eke hakurunandana. Bahushaka hinantascha budhayo byabashay. We have to be resolute in purpose. And fearful conditions, if we're sincere, those fearful conditions will focus us on taking shelter of Krishna. If we're insincere, we'll lose our faith. Radha Gopinath are calling us into their pastimes of love. The little cowherd boys, they were beyond Prahlad. Right in front of them was Agasura. Now, we already went through that exercise of when that cobra was in front of you and he's going, psst, and you're afraid. We all agreed that we'd be afraid, yes? Well, how would you like to be face to face with an 8-mile-long snake whose mouth is open not just to bite you, but to devour you? What would you think of that? I mean, nothing Steven Spielberg or anybody could create through special effects could possibly compare to Agasura. And he's for real. He's right there in front of the cowherd boys. They weren't just aham brahmasmi. I'm not this body. I am the spirit soul. I am Brahman. Snakes cannot kill me. They weren't like that. They were just clapping their hands and smiling and running right into his mouth. Krishna will save us. They were arguing with each other. This is a snake. No, it's just some nice scenic play place. And then ultimately they concluded it is a snake, but Krishna will save us. And they ran right in, clapping, smiling, laughing, like that little girl. Because they felt total shelter in Krishna's love. This is how we should cultivate our chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, Yamuna Dinatarani Prabhu?
Thank you very, very.
Please send microphone to them, please.
Thank you so much for that incredibly inspiring class. It leaves me speechless. And it's so wonderful to be reminded again and again of the necessity of taking complete shelter in dependence on the protection of Krishna for all of us. It's such a wonderful and necessary reminder to constantly try to put ourselves in that zone rather than just our comfort zone of daily life and intermittent remembrance. So thank you so much for reminding us of that. Your lectures are always so poignant and so full of realized transcendental knowledge and understanding of the import of Srimad Bhagavatam and all of the teachings of the Charyas and our line, and when I hear you speak, I think that Srila Prabhupada must be so pleased that here is someone who has so beautifully taken this Krishna consciousness in the heart and articulated it to the devotees in such a wonderful way by mind, by words, by intelligence, and most particularly by example. And it's so exciting and thrilling to come in this atmosphere and be able to be one of the specks of on the wall to just hear and try to absorb. And I thank you so much for all of this. It's you're such a wonderful example and such a wonderful devotee, and very honored to just be sitting here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, every, from beginning to end, the sequence of the discussion of the shloka and the answers to the questions, the wonderful questions. And I was thinking, for me, I sometimes capsulate a day and think of one thing in a day that I want to be grateful for. So one of the nuts of inspiration I got from you was to just be sincere all day. Because if I'm sincere all day consciously, it will help me for tomorrow. That today is what's important. Now is what's important. And the sincerity aspect, although we know it, it's so easy to just get caught up in this or that, hearing some piece of outside information that takes us away from this business of being sincere every second to take advantage of this gift of Krishna consciousness. So that's my word for today, and certainly my meditation for today. And there was one thing that, unfortunately, my eyesight is not so good unless I stand very much in the front. So for how many years I've been coming here, and I see this white thing across Srimati Radharani. So Dinatarini, across her chest, and Dinatarini said, "Now, isn't that an amazing mudra of Srimati Radharani? She's holding both of her hands towards Krishna." And during, in your lecture, you also made this gesture. And I was just thinking how incredibly glorious this Radharani is. I've never seen any deity in the world with this towards Krishna. And it so much fit in with the presence of that realization with the words that you spoke this morning. I could go on for a long time. Thank you.
Please.
Very, very, very much.
Thank you. By Yamuna Prabhu and Dinatarini Prabhu's presence here, we are being intimately blessed by the love and mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Let us express our appreciation by loudly chanting Hare Krishna.